And the lesson for this, the Feast of Pentecost, is taken from the Acts of the Apostles. When the days of Pentecost were accomplished, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a mighty wind coming, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them parted tongues, as it were of fire, and it sat upon every one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak with diverse tongues, according as the Holy Ghost gave them to speak. Now there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded in mind, because that every man heard them speak in his own tongue. And they were all amazed and wondered, saying, Behold, are not all these that speak Galileans? And how have we heard every man our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites and inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus in Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya, about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews also and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians. We have heard them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. Please rise for the Holy Gospel, which is taken from that of St. John. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, If anyone love me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and will make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my words, and the word which you have heard is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things have I spoken to you, abiding with you. But the Paraclete, the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and bring all things to your mind, whatsoever I shall have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth do I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. You have heard that I said to you, I go away, and I come unto you. If you loved me, you would indeed be glad, because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it came to pass, that when it shall come to pass, you may believe. I will not now speak many things with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and in me he hath not anything. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father hath given me commandment, so do I. As for the words of this Sunday's Holy Gospel, please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. We do well on these great feast days of the Church to follow the spirit and method of the ancient fathers of the Church, as the Church bids us, in interpreting them according to the four senses. I've mentioned this before on other feast days, the literal historical sense, the allegorical or prophetic sense, the moral mystical sense, and lastly, the eschatological sense, how it refers to the last things or the end times. So let's begin with the prophetic sense, that second sense, so that we understand exactly what's happening, as the apostles themselves would have understood the coming of the Paraclete, the Holy Ghost, amongst them. And looking at what were prefigurements and prophecies of the Old Testament in regard to the Holy Spirit. First, we note that in the beginning of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 2, that the Spirit of God hovered upon the waters, that with his creative spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, he created the dry land and all that is. Likewise, we see his spirit in the recreation of the world as well, symbolized by the dove, which was sent to Noah to indicate that the sinful world had now passed away and that our Lord would begin again through the just Noah, saved by the wood of the ark, symbol of the church and of the cross of Christ, to now sending the dove, symbol of meekness, with an olive branch in its beak. An olive, obviously, is that from which we produce oil, by which we are anointed, made other Christs by our chrismation, in baptism, by confirmation, and in holy orders. Then, likewise, we see the image of fire. We see that in the covenant with Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, when having placed the sacrifices out, our Lord sent in a burning smoke and a lamp of fire to pass through these sacrifices, okay? Ratifying this covenant with Abraham, promising him all that promised land. And then likewise to Moses, when he led them out of Egypt, he first appeared to Moses in a burning bush, burning yet not consumed. Symbol of his divinity, in which he reveals his divine name to Moses. And then likewise accompanying the Israelites through the desert in a pillar of fire, which appeared before them. And so we see fire as a symbol of God's divinity, the source of light, the source of warmth, enkindling in us the fire of his love. And then likewise, another important historical precedent, prefigurement, was the Tower of Babel. As we hear today that they speak in all the tongues of all the nations on earth, recall that again, we all descend from Adam and Eve. And so that as there is one human race, there was originally one human language. And Genesis tells us what happened, that then mankind growing in its pride tried to ascend to heaven without the help of God, placing himself in the place of God. And that God thwarted their efforts by dividing them all in different languages. And it's very interesting. I like to investigate a little bit about different languages, and particularly in the Americas, so many different languages amongst the native peoples that it really proves this point. How did we all descend from one race, spread throughout the earth, and have languages so different and so diverse, save as the Bible tells us in the story of Babel? Likewise, the prophets had prophesied. Remember, God gave them a law which was difficult to keep, which couldn't sanctify them efficaciously, as we have in the New Testament. And so he had promised them that the Spirit of the Lord would fill the world, is all-embracing and knows man's utterance, as we hear today in the introit from the Book of Wisdom. And likewise, especially from the prophet Ezekiel, who prophesied, "When I prove my holiness through you, I will gather you from all the foreign lands." So we see them today in Jerusalem at Pentecost. "And I will sprinkle clean water upon you to cleanse you from all your impurities. And 3,000 are converted and baptized today. And I will give you a new spirit." Okay? Again, the comments of St. Augustine and others is that God gave them a law which was difficult. Precisely so, they would seek for a Savior, that they would seek that interior renewal and recognize their dependency and need for God's Holy Spirit poured out within them. And likewise, St. Peter cites today the prophecy of Joel, who said, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. I will pour out my Spirit in those days." And likewise, our Lord himself had prepared them for the coming of his Holy Spirit, referring often, as we hear today, for example, to the Spirit of truth, who will come, who will be their advocate, who will teach them everything that he has revealed to them, that he will guide them and preserve them in all truth, and that he will abide within us. Okay? So that's how the apostles would have received the Holy Ghost today on Pentecost. Pentecost, literally, historically, was a harvest festival. They harvested barley at the Pasch, and then 50 days later, the crops of wheat, and then presented them before the Lord in his temple. So think of that, the harvest then of souls which will occur, as well as the wheat which will become Christ among us in the Holy Eucharist. And likewise later, probably after the destruction of the temple, the Jews recalled Pentecost as the day of the giving of the law to Moses, as today the apostles received that law imprinted on their hearts by the Holy Spirit. And so we see the Holy Spirit come in the form of tongues. And that indicates what? That God now wishes to extend his gospel. This is how he extends his kingdom. "Go unto all the nations," not just the Israelites, beginning in Judea, Samaria, but then to all the ends of the earth, preaching the good news. "He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned." Our salvation depends on preaching the word, on the sanctification of our tongue. And as the Holy Ghost, the sanctifier, comes under the form of a tongue, and a tongue of fire, reminding us, of course, of God's burning presence, which should be in our heart, as from the fullness of the heart the mouth speaks. And that this should inflame with charity, seek the salvation of all men. And that through the 12 apostles then, he will, through the 12 tribes of Israel, and then recalling Israel's own vocation, right? To be a light to the Gentiles, to bring them back to the temple, as we saw partially fulfilled in the time of Solomon, for example, and the Queen of Sheba and others came to worship the true God in the temple, that the holy apostles, the 12 apostles, will bring this about as instruments of the Holy Ghost. So we can read the Acts of the Apostles in this time and read it as, many saints say, the gospel of the Holy Ghost. Right? As the four evangelists tell us, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Acts of the Apostles, the gospel of the Holy Ghost through the mystical body of Christ, okay, forming its soul. And again, he's acting through them to continue the same work of redemption. As our Lord said, as the Father hath sent me, so I send you. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. So how does this apply then morally to us? Obviously, the first point to consider is, again, why is Christ leaving us, going up to heaven if he came to save the whole world and extend his kingdom to the ends of the earth? Wouldn't it have been easier if he would have stayed here with us, if we could see him? It would have been easier, but then less profitable for our sanctification. Think, many of our Lord's own people who saw him physically work miracles and reveal divine truth rejected him. Okay? They thought according to the flesh. And on this day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls convert. As now he is closer to us in our inmost self, St. Augustine says. As, again, it's his spirit. And that's an important point. As you see, it's mentioned as the spirit of Jesus, the spirit whom Christ sends to us. Okay, that's a reflection of the internal processions that the Holy Ghost proceeds from the Father and the Son. If he didn't proceed from the Son, it would be unfitting for the Son to send him to us. Okay, it's a point you can mention to the Greek schismatics. And so it's the spirit of Christ. So he's still with us in a more intimate way. And again, not easier, but more efficacious. Why? Because now if we want a relationship with Christ, we have to detach from our senses, and we have to enter that interior castle and converse with him. We have to seek the things that are above, not those which are on the earth. That's the conditions for our relationship with him, which again will be more intimate than even having him visibly present before us. But it requires, and again, he's healing our wound in its root, right? He's making us more spiritual, and that's what our salvation consists in. And so we receive the same spirit which cries out, Abba, Father. And the apostle just refers to walking according to the spirit as the rule of the Christian life. It's the love of God poured forth within our hearts. Okay? Hence, why even speak of a law, right? You love Christ, as he says today, you will keep his commandments. It will be a joy. You're doing the will of your beloved. Your will is thus united perfectly to him, to his. That's our joy. And there's no need to expound on obligations or prohibitions. You will receive them with the greatest joy. No one has to force you in that sense, right? And so we've received the same spirit. And that transforms us. And again, this is a proof of our holy religion. Okay, we see the external signs. Even today, in the miracle of tongues, that is, speaking other languages, which the apostles did not know, or that they heard them in their own language. Okay, so that's the miracle, the gift of tongues, the gift of languages, that is. But also the interior proof, right? Why were these apostles who were so afraid and hid in the upper room for fear of the Jews now go out to preach courageously and announce boldly the gospel and convert thousands of souls? Okay, again, that interior transformation, that's the soul of our apostolate. That's what convinces people. Think of the conversion of Edith Stein, a Jewish convert, who, they say, in reading the works of St. Teresa of Avila, right? Not a theologian, not working abundant miracles, but describing the presence of God in the soul and the relationship with God. Reading that, she concluded, this must be true. This is not a fantasy. This is God acting in the soul. Okay, is that evident in our life? St. Paul says that the Spirit himself gives testimony that we are sons of God. Do you experience that testimony in your soul? By the fruits of the Holy Ghost, charity, joy, peace, patience, goodness, benignity, long-suffering, and mildness, faith, modesty, constancy, and chastity, right? Those fruits of the Holy Ghost, which are produced in your soul. Okay, that's a sign of his presence. And so, then the last point to emphasize is that we need the gifts of the Holy Ghost, okay? This is why, you know, if we think, well, I can practice the virtues, I know the faith, I hope to go to heaven, I love God, I'll try to love my neighbor, shouldn't that be enough? It's not enough. St. Thomas says the gifts of the Holy Ghost are necessary for salvation. Well, wait, what needs to be added? He compares it to a ship, you know, that we can't, even if we can go on top of water in our supernatural boat and we have oars of faith and hope and, let's say, a compass of faith and oars of hope and charity, it won't be enough to get us safely to harbor. We need to have sails. We need to catch the wind to lead us. when the waves go against us. And so St. Thomas says they're necessary because we all experience difficult temptations in life, which come up all of a sudden. Okay, if it were steering the boat, it won't be enough. We need a larger perspective. And so the gifts of the Holy Ghost, if the virtues are to sanctify our actions, making them supernatural, the gifts are to sanctify our mode of our actions, how we do it, the way we perform those actions, so that we can be holy as God is holy, doing things in a divine manner, being led by Him, illumined by Him. We need that for salvation. Thus, don't neglect it. And that's why God leaves us with our weakness, right, in this life. But His grace is sufficient for us. He wants us to plead that the Holy Ghost come. And I think of the example of the former Cardinal Archbishop of Guadalajara, Don Juan Sandoval Iniguez. I imagine, you know, he has a diocese of 6 million Catholics, about 2,000 priests. Imagine getting up every morning thinking about, okay, I got 6 million children to feed somehow and to take care of. What did he do every morning? Same thing we do at the ordination of a priest. Veni Creator Spiritus, hymn to the Holy Ghost. Come, O Creator Spirit, come Holy Ghost. Okay? Recognizing at the beginning of each day, I can't do this, but with your help, O Lord, I can. Come and act through me. Okay? That's the mystery of the Church, the mystical body of Christ. Okay? And then lastly, the eschatological sense. Okay? We see it that this mystery of Pentecost is the mystery we are living now. It's the last mystery. When our Lord comes again, it won't be to establish yet another covenant, but to judge us on the new and eternal, everlasting covenant. So the mystery of Pentecost is the mystery of the Church, sent out for the harvest of souls, and according to which we will be judged. And that our salvation depends on seeking the salvation of our neighbor. Right? The human race was divided from Cain and Abel, even Adam and Eve betraying each other in temptation. That this will be undone only insofar as we seek the salvation of our neighbor. Okay? We can't love God whom we do not see if we do not love our neighbor whom we do see, made according to His image and made to be according to His likeness. That's our job. Okay? And so, remember, the man who tried to just save himself, who kept his talent that he received and presented it to the Lord, was condemned. You have to multiply it. Okay? You have the gifts of the Holy Ghost. You've been confirmed. You've been sent out as soldiers. And so that's what we contemplate now liturgically. There's no more mysteries, right? We had Advent, Christmas, Lent, Easter, Ascension, Pentecost. And now it's 24 weeks of Pentecost until the end of the liturgical year, which reminds us of the last judgment. And we'll be judged according as to how we have corresponded with this gift of the Holy Ghost. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.